Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And a word says something very powerful. It says, God is not mocked. Amen. Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. And God is not mocked. You know, we're seeing a tremendous shift and change. You know, God has been warning us multiple times in the area of staying connected, staying close, denying yourself. You know, the word says something powerful. It says, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, sometimes people think, well, I've done this and I've done that. Well, no, God, did God tell you to do that? Obedience is always better than sacrifice. God honors obedience, not sacrifices. In other words, submission to God is the most important thing to me and you. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil. If you're not submitting to God, you cannot resist the devil, and he will eventually cause you to stumble. And we are in a time right now that things aren't getting better. Spiritually, more demonic activity is being released. We're seeing more separation in the United States. Now the government has approved every state mandate same-sex marriage. So now the government has intervened in every state and said, this is what you'll do. So you can expect judgment to come to the United States. You can expect it and be prepared for it, because my dad ain't going to get mocked. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 50, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Would you read it with me, please? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up, where? In what? Victory. Remember, the Lord said he would release the sword of victory only to those who are in position. So if you're not in position and not with the sword of victory, then you will have the sword of defeat. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is what? Sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, if you really want the sword of victory, you must be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord and not the work of yourself, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is actually a prophetic warning. He says, be steadfast, immovable in the work of the Lord. Maintain position. Maintain course, no matter what's going on. Maintain. Don't be swayed. Don't be misled. Don't be confused. Hold fast. Don't be influenced by emotion. Don't let your heart dictate what the will of God is. Let the Spirit of God dictate it. Be led by truth. Fear God and don't fear man. Hello. In Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. In other words, keep God first, no matter what. Keep him first. Keep him first. Leviticus 23 and verse 4. It says, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their what? At their what? Appointed times. On the 14th day of the month, of the first month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. There are seven feasts. These appointed times are prophetic times. There is a, what we call prophetic seven. Everyone say prophetic seven. It is very important to understand this because we are in one right now. And we'll talk a little bit more about it. prophetic seven means God's timeline, certain things of judgment, certain times of visitation, certain things that he has set. These are prophetic things that occur. And we have the Feast of Passover. These are the Feast of the Lord, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of what we call the Feast of the Weeks, or known as Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. These seven feasts are prophetic timeline feasts. Jesus has already come to fulfill the first four feasts. The next feast is known as the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is a representation of the church being removed from the earth so that tribulation can come or all hell will break out, because we are not accounted for the great tribulation. Doesn't mean we won't be here during tribulation, but we're not accounted for the wrath of God, which is the last 3.5 years of tribulation. So in this, this prophetic seven is very important to understand. And one of the things the enemy wants to do is mock it. The Feast of Trumpets is also known as the New Year, the Jewish New Year. In Leviticus chapter 4, if you go there for a second, I want to show you some things about seven. So we have seven feasts. The number seven actually means complete and perfect. In other words, these are things that God has designated. And these designated feasts are associated with visitations. They're associated with judgments. They're associated with wrath. They are associated with times and seasons of change. If you really look up seven associated with things, even multiplied, single, any added, all the sevens in there, you'll find many things occur in your life that are associated with seven. In Leviticus chapter 4, is everybody there? In verse, I think it's 6. Yeah. Start at verse 5. It says, "Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and bring it into the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood." How many times? Seven times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. Seven. Again, that was prophetic because Jesus was bruised and cut and bled in seven places of his body. Both hands, both feet, his side, his head, and his back. Seven places. This was prophetic, so they were going to sprinkle the blood seven times. They actually went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood seven times on the Ark of the Covenant when they were doing atonement once a year for the whole nation of Israel. So we see here that they were sprinkling the blood, meaning seven places on Jesus, representation. It was things that were to come. Remember, the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. In Genesis, let's go to Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter 1. Prophetic 7. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. It says, "God who at what? Various times in what? Various ways." And some of the various ways it's associated with feasts or events. For some, how many know God can speak through trauma? He can speak through anything. Sometimes he's trying to get our attention. So certain traumas have to come in our life so that we can turn according to the right way. It says, "In various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by prophets," or prophetic words, "has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, and now by his Holy Spirit, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power." In other words, his word is power. His word, when he created everything, he spoke it. His word has not fallen. It is still moving. It's holding up everything. His word is alive and moving, still holding everything. And when you catch his word and you speak his word, it begins to assist in that area to move things unseen. So things could be manifested in the physical realm. "When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. In other words, his name moves things. There was a testimony about an individual that was in hell. And one of the high-ranking demons there mentioned that when Jesus' name is mentioned, hell shakes for weeks. When things are mentioned about, he said that anytime anyone mentions Jesus' name in hell, it shakes for weeks. You know how many people are calling out on Jesus' name in hell? There must be a lot of earthquakes there all the time. Unfortunately, they can't come out now. He can't rescue them. People choose their own destiny. God makes a way. You know, God says, man makes plans and he laughs at them. So we see here God is speaking through these seven prophetic sevens in every area. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the what day? The seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he what? He rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God did what? Blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made on the seventh day. So again, what we're doing, we're still associated with 7 days a week, aren't we? It's not stopped yet, and it's never going to stop. There are 7 days in a week. Why? Because God completed it. He set it up to where on the seventh day there would be acknowledgement of him on the seventh day. Because he is complete, he is perfect, he is the I am. And in this, that was his requirement, even with the Sabbaths, is that they acknowledged him. In Genesis 7, in verse 1, you can read this with me, 7:1. It says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you what? Seven each of every clean. Now look at this, a male and his female, but two each of animals that are what? Unclean, because they're not perfect. To get it, he calls certain things clean and things that are unclean. They are special. This number associated with the prophetic seven is specific, according to acknowledging God. You shall take and then he says, to each animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also seven each of the birds of the air, or male and female, to keep species alive on the face of the earth. For after what? Seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days. Now, isn't it quite unique that the Lord specifically told him to do this 7 days prior to the rains coming? Because it was a prophetic time. He speaks prophetically. That's why the Spirit always tells you things to come. If you're listening, he will guide you to all truth. Why? Because truth is prophetic. It has been going since he created. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I had made. Now, isn't it ironic that he expressed to them about from that day, he said, get everybody going, count all these animals, get everybody in the ark. 7 days from now, it's going to start. And then I'm going to destroy the whole earth. How long is tribulation? 7 years. Seven times one is seven, right? And then what's going to happen? We go into the seventh year, which is known as the 7,000 year Sabbath, and then he'll destroy the whole earth with fire. Hallelujah. Go to verse 10. And it came to pass after what? 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the what? 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open. On the 17th day, does everybody get this? Man, you start finding out about genealogy and you'll find out that many of these patriarchs and so forth did certain things on the 7th, 17th, or 70th. Everything was associated with a number 7. in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, it says, to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he who has the what? Seven spirits of God and the what? Seven stars. I know your works that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Seven spirits, seven stars. Stars are a representation of angels. In verse 5, it says, he who overcomes shall be clothed. Oh, I'm sorry, chapter 5. Go to chapter 5, not verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. Again, we see prophetic speaking. Isaiah 11. Isaiah chapter 11. There are also seven attributes of the Holy Spirit which assist me and you to understand these things. In verse 2, it says the what? The Spirit of the Lord is one, shall rest upon him or me. Everyone say me. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. You all notice how they rest on the fear of the Lord? Starts with the Spirit of the Lord and rests on the fear of the Lord. These are the seven attributes of the Holy Spirit. When you are filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, these attributes of the Spirit are in you. So now you have a thirst and hunger to want to learn. You have a thirst and hunger to want to know how to use what you've learned. You have a thirst and hunger for counsel. You have a thirst and hunger for wisdom. You have might to overcome. The strength is because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. You carry the fear and reverence of God. He's always before you in every decision. The Spirit of the Lord. So we see here there's seven attributes. These are things that help us prophetically discern. In Genesis 41. We have an upcoming preacher in the house. She's praying in the spirit already. Genesis 41. In verse 29. Or you could start at 28. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. It says, indeed, how many years? 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of what? Famine. That's judgment, isn't it? And all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the land plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. God brings judgment. We are finding a depletion in certain things, even in this country. But this depletion is not associated always with nature. It's evil that's promoting depletion. You know, there's areas where God will, to bring judgment, to awaken people, will step back from restraining evil and allow it to do its work. In Exodus 35, Exodus 35, in verse 1 and 2. Let's speak it, please. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be what? Put to death. Now, this is for the house of Israel. Amen? Well, there wouldn't be too many live people in this country, I'll tell you why. In Mark chapter 2. You know, at one time, you couldn't work. It was illegal to be open for business on Sunday. There wasn't one liquor store that was able to be open on a Sunday. In fact, at one time, if you got caught in fornication, it was a crime and you could go to prison. If you were cheating on your husband or your wife, you could go to prison. But those laws are still there, you know. They're just not enforced anymore. I think they should enforce them. I think a lot of people would wake up, boneheads. Now they just promote it. You go on TV, everybody's cheating on one another. It's no longer as Peyton Play. It's As the World Burns. Welcome to As the World Burns. Hallelujah. So the Lord set a Sabbath so he would be acknowledged. He said, if you do not acknowledge me on this day, you die. In verse 20-something, I think it's 27. Mark 2, 27, is everybody there? He said to them, the Sabbath was made for who? Man. And not man for the Sabbath. Well, therefore, a son of man is also Lord of the Sabbath. So Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Remember, the Sabbath is made for man. To who? Acknowledge God. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Revelation 8. Starting at verse 1. It says, when he opened the what? Seventh seal. This is associated with judgment now, is it? Actually, this is wrath. This is not God's judgment anymore. This is God's wrath. Remember, there's conviction, chastisement, judgment, then wrath. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stood before the Lord. And to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, and lightnings, and earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And it goes through each one. These are all associated with God's wrath, the seven seals that were broken. This is associated with the seven-year tribulation. In Revelation 17, in verse 1, it talks about the seven bowls. These are all associated with the wrath of God. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. This area of delusion and deception, bound and sucked into lust, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. All of this is associated with the seven-year tribulation. In Daniel chapter 9, an angel, Gabriel, comes to Daniel. And in verse 23, he says to him, at the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, Daniel. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision that was given to you. And verse 24 says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for the iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy One. Now, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be what? 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not himself. In other words, he will be crucified. This is Daniel prophesying this. He will be cut off, but not for himself. Why? Because he will die for his people. And the people of the prince who is to come, this is the prince of power of air, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. How many days in a week? 7 days. Satan, well, the Antichrist, will make a covenant of a 7-year treaty. That has not come yet. When that comes, you know you have a maximum of 3.5 years left. So that means that you're going to see more things break out. Iran will continue to break the law. Other things will break out more. Babylon is rising more. Iraq, all of these other areas. You're seeing all. Now, you know, I want you to understand that the Bible represents the Middle East. But we are the reflection, because God created the United States as a reflection to Israel. We were the way of escape until everything was fulfilled. Because it says that the Gentiles will cause jealousy to the Jews, and then the Jews will come forth. So right now, we are the Israel, even though there's the Israel. United States is the Israel. So right now, the things that are occurring now are going to be some of the same judgments that occurred in ancient Israel. We will begin to receive some of them because of the turning away of God now. Is everybody okay? It says, there shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, which is 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. This is when Satan himself will show up. And on the wing of abominable nation shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. In other words, at that period of time, Satan will take hold. The Antichrist will somehow die. Satan will take his body and arise. He will walk into the temple and proclaim himself as God. And that will manifest the Feast of Trumpets, and that's when most likely we're out of here, because wrath is going to come forth like crazy. Prophetic 7. Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. In verse 8. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. Is everybody? Oh, hold on. I'm in the wrong one. Leviticus 25:8. I'm sorry. Is everybody there? You shall count 7 what? Sabbaths of years for yourself, even 7 times 7 years. And the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years, because 7 times 7 is 49. The next year will be considered Jubilee. Then you shall cause, and you shall count 7 Sabbaths, 7 years for yourself, 7 times 7, and in the time of the 7 Sabbaths of the year shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. Hello. On the Day of Atonement, and you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all of your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. Now, I'm going to share a little bit about a return. Well, where did they go? Because they fulfilled a Sabbath, which is what it talks about of cleaning the land. See, in reality, every 7 years, a piece of property, a plot where you're growing, should not be grown on. It should rest for a year. And what it does is it brings blessings. And they're not to take that crop or anything. They're to let it grow, let it go forth, so even the poor can come and take from it. And when they began to disobey that, God began to pour judgment on them. I'm going to go a little further. That verse 11, that 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your intended vine. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of jubilee, each one of you shall return to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and according to the number of years of crops, he shall sell to you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase its price, and according to the fewer number of years, you shall diminish its price. For he sells to you according to the number of years of the crop. Therefore, you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. So you shall observe my statutes and keep my judgments and perform them, and you will dwell in the land in what? Safety. In safety. Now, go to Leviticus 23. In verse 10. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. Now we'll go to Exodus 23. That is a feast known as first fruits. In verse 10. Here's where we get an understanding. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce. But the seventh year you shall what? Let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave, the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner, you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. That was a command from the Lord. Now go to Deuteronomy 15. Deuteronomy 15, and verse 1 and 2. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. At the end of every 7 years, which is known as a Sabbath year, you shall grant a release of debts. Wow. And this is the form of release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. In other words, in Israel at that time, after 7 years, there was a time of release. Everybody was released from one another of debt. They were released from their possessions. Why? Because they honored the Lord. They didn't care. They knew that they didn't own anything. God just granted them stewardship. And when they obeyed, they were blessed tremendously. Blessed tremendously. That the Lord's release is called Shemitah. It's called the Lord's release. And when they did not obey it, judgment came. It is to observe, it's an act of submission when they did this. It was to wipe away, clean everything, so it would be an appointed time by God to set for them for rest, refreshing, and revival. And Jeremiah 25. Is everybody okay? That's why the devil, you know, people, when you go to the gambling casinos, what are they, the number 7 is a winner, right? I mean, the devil always likes to contaminate anything of God. He puts 7 next to snake eyes. It just doesn't make sense. Jeremiah 25. I've never seen anybody be released from any conceit of debt. It's amazing. If you remember when, the flood came and whatever, and St. Louis, was it? Yeah, Mardi Gras and all, and they couldn't. Well, you know the first thing they rebuilt? Casinos. That's the first thing they made sure was back in operation was the casinos. Hallelujah. Tell me things ain't happening. Whoa. And Jeremiah 25 and verse 4. And the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened or inclined your ear to hear. They said, repent now, every one of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. And do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them. And do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolation. Moreover, I'll take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon for what? 70 years. Now let me tell you why. Because they did not observe the Shemitah. They ignored it. And God sent them into captivity. And Israel was destroyed. And for 70 years, they stayed in captivity, and because the land was desolate, there was nothing going to be produced off of it. In Leviticus 26, because they didn't hear and they didn't obey. Leviticus 26, you may think, well, why are we talking about all this now? Because we're in one. It started September 4th, in 2014, September, it ends September 2015. We're in it now. And every time these things occurred, now that we are the parallel of Israel, there was always some kind of collapse. You'll see 9/11. You'll see all of these events that have occurred were during the Shemitah, one of the events. I'm not here to teach all about that. Just show you what's what. You can look it on the internet and learn all about it. Leviticus 26. Hallelujah. Verse 31. 26:31. I'll start at 27. And after all this, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you in fury. And I will chastise you seven times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your own sons. And you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation. I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then, look at this. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths. Why? Because they didn't give the land a break and they didn't do the Shemitah, the release of debt. And you and your enemies' land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbath. Why? Because it's desolate now. As long as it lies desolate, it shall what? Rest. For the time it did not rest on your Sabbaths when you dwelt there. So he's saying 70 years. Why? Because there was all those Sabbaths that they skipped and didn't obey, as for the Shemitah, the resting of the Sabbath year. These are Sabbaths of land. They are Sabbath years. It's called the Shemitah. U.S. is becoming more and more man-centered and self-centered, not God-centered. It's drifting further and further away. Without God, nothing is holy or nothing is unholy. As the U.S. drifts away from its creator and purpose, it's replaced with judgment and disaster. Again, this started in September 2014 and it ends in September 2015. In 2 Peter chapter 3, prophetic 7. Didn't Jesus say, remember they asked him, oh Lord, if how many times do I need to repent? He said, 7 times 7, right? Doesn't the Bible talk about when the spirit leaves a person, how many spirits come back? 7. 2 Peter chapter 3. Is everybody okay? Are you learning something? In verse 7 it says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for what? Fire, until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. So what's one times seven? Seven. So 1,000 years times seven is what? 7,000 years. That's human history. We are in the 6,000th year, getting ready to enter the 7,000th year, which is known as the Sabbath year, where we will reign for 1,000 years. Does everybody get it? And in Revelation 20, and in that year will be a rest year, be a Sabbath year, but it'll also be the Feast of Tabernacles, God dwelling with man. Hallelujah. In verse 1, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand, and he held hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for what? 1,000 years. This is during the rest year. This is the Sabbath year. He's going to bind him for 1,000 years. So everybody got it. Why? Because this will be the end of tribulation, end of God's wrath. He will take Satan and bind him in the pit for 1,000 years, which will be our rest. Rest from what? Rest from the fight. You're saying, we got to wait till then? Yep. Either there or go home first. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while so God can fry him. And he's going to cook him, and then all fire is going to come down and everything. You know? But I want to close at Hebrews 4. You know, today, people are calling good bad and bad good. Yeah. Hallelujah. In verse 4, would you read it with me? For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, there remains, some must enter it. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of what? Disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So let me tell you, when you're not hearing and receiving his counsel, that means the heart is hardened. The blinders and veils are back. They work together. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even a division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Hallelujah. To whom we must give account. So all things are contingent. Prophetic things are contingent on the area of man turning away from wickedness and turning back to God. God says he desires no one to be lost. God doesn't send them to hell. Man sends himself to hell. He's given us a free will. Again, God won't be mocked. As we sow, so shall we reap. You know, just because something hasn't manifested today, it definitely will come. Nobody outruns the reaping of the Lord. Nobody. It will come. And this country will reap from what it's been sowing. Its purpose is... The ruler of darkness' purpose is for people to lose their purpose. They become servants of technology, servants of money, servants of lust, servants of self. Everything that you and I have is not ours. It's been lent to us by God. We don't own anything. Nothing. We hear that all the time. Oh, I own this and I own it. We don't own nothing. Everything has been granted to us by Him because you can't take it home, so you don't own it. Amen? Praise God. So let's stay close, stay tight, stay submissive, stay humble, and stay alert. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be protected by the blood so that it will grow and bear fruit for your glory. And Lord, convict us. Turn our hearts towards you in every area. Expose our deceptions. And what we don't see, let someone else show us, that we may walk right before you all the days of our life and be pleasing as sons and daughters in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.